Lord Jesus Christ, spoken word of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and help us today to hear only your words. Amen. Today is the 12th day of Christmas, so I get to say one last time, Merry Christmas! Since today is the 12th day, that makes tonight Twelfth Night, a traditional night for merrymaking and pranks and happy social disorder of all kinds. This is the night when you bake and maybe eat a king's cake. Tonight is a big deal, not just because it's the last day of Christmas, but because tomorrow is the Feast of the Epiphany, which we mark today in church. Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, marks the arrival of the Magi, the three kings, to the Holy Family in Bethlehem. It makes sense that Twelfth Night is celebrated with surprises and disorder, because the story of the kings includes these things too. Surprise, Mary and Joseph, you have very late arriving visitors from the east. And there's a surprise for the kings that the baby they were looking for has been born without earthly glory of any kind, and no one knows about it. And surprise, expectations are turned upside down, that the kings travel only in order to kneel in what was probably a lowly room. And surprise, there's actually a fourth king involved in this story. He seems so helpful, but last surprise, he's actually the villain. King Herod is, in my mind, an integral part of this story of Epiphany. Our King Herod in the Christmas pageant did a great job of portraying some of Herod's key qualities. Deeply troubled by this news of a baby, desperate to know more, very afraid, and willing to deceive to get what he wants. In fact, if we read further in Matthew, we see that King Herod is so fearful for his position, so paranoid about holding on to every scrap of power, that almost immediately afterwards, he commits one of his most heinous acts of violence. Herod kills every child under the age of two in all of Bethlehem and the surrounding area. It is a sad and evil thing. It is something we don't want to think about. These children are called the Holy Innocents, and we remember them as martyrs on their feast day, December 28th. This is the great sorrow that we will hear in the song for our offertory anthem. In the same world as the great love and devotion of Joseph and Mary to the Christ child is this kind of fear and evil. In the same world as the heavenly host of angels in the night sky, there is this senseless destruction. But we have, standing here across from Herod, the Magi, the three kings. To me, they are appealing figures of mystery. We know a lot, actually, about Herod the Great from many historical sources. We don't know much about these magi, these kings, their names, or from where in the East they came, or even really how many of them there were. We do know a little bit, though, and this little bit paints a striking picture, especially when posed next to Herod. Herod is clinging to his throne and his power with white knuckles. The three kings, on the other hand, choose to leave their thrones, their courts, and go where no one knows them. The three kings risk social loss and personal harm, and they risk failure to find this new king. They take a journey of humility. When they encounter this child king, and discover him in modest surroundings, this doesn't seem to give them pause. They kneel and pay him homage and open their treasure chests. They are open to whatever they may find, unlike Herod. Did they know, I wonder, if they had just encountered God? I think they must have. T.S. Eliot, of course, imagines them saying, "This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We return to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here." In any case, they, like Joseph, receive a heavenly warning in a dream, and they're off again on their way. King Herod and the three kings give us two examples of how we might approach the world, and indeed approach God. Like Herod, sometimes we act out of fear. We move to consolidate our power. We deceive. We tell white lies, even to ourselves, in order to hold on to what we think is our identity. We do not like even the risk of losing people's opinion of us. We want control and power, even power over when and how God appears to us. And, like the three kings, sometimes we act out of humility and curiosity. We take a risk to do what we know we must do. We leave the places or the opportunities where we have power and respect to go where we know we must go. Sometimes we are even able to open our treasures and ask God to take our gifts, our power, our health, our beauty, our skills, and to use them as God would like to use them. I think these two images, King Herod versus the three kings, are good to keep in mind when we're going about our lives. I'm imagining them kind of like the angel and the demon on my shoulders, whispering their particular concerns, trying to convince me. Now, since it's January and all the parties are over for a while, many of us are taking a step back to think about our patterns and our habits. The ads and the shops and the articles online sure do want us to think about these things and to make decisions about what we can buy to fix them. But I'm wondering, what would happen if we took a step even further back and asked ourselves more generally, what am I thinking about or pursuing? What do I spend my time talking about or planning? And then we can ask, am I pursuing this thing in the mode of King Herod or in the mode of the three kings? Am I making choices out of fear of what I might lose, out of a need for others to know my own importance? Or am I making choices in confidence of God's call to me, with a curiosity or openness about what I might find? I have found that when I am in King Herod mode in some part of my life, maybe with my family or my belongings, in King Herod mode, I am troubled by new things or new ideas and easily frustrated. I cling to things. It's hard in that mode to really pause and think long enough before I speak or text or email. I feel anxious and have a really hard time seeing my way out of it. That means I also have a hard time seeing where God may be in that particular situation. When I'm able to be in the three kings mode, however, I'm able to recognize other people's power and value without being afraid of it. I can encounter new things with curiosity and a can-do spirit. I feel confident because I'm keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is God and God's love. In that mode, it is much easier to be brave, to risk dislike or failure in pursuit of the good, because I know that I cannot lose anything of importance, since everything I have that's important is already within God. If only I could always be in the three kings mode. Will you pray with me? Holy God, you came to us an innocent child, and with your family you fled the violent hand of a frightened man. Help us, Lord, not to use our power in such fear, but give us the wisdom of the three kings, that we may find you and open the treasure of our hearts and minds at your very